First Peter chapter number 1, for sake of time, I'm going to read my entire text. We'll read it as we go through it. I'll be looking at every verse in the text today, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. But let me just begin by reading verses 1 and 2. I have a word of prayer and get started. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege we have once again to open your blessed word. Lord, I thank you for every word that you've given to us in your Bible, totally inspired, God-breathed, without error, the Word of God. And Lord, today I pray that you'd help me as I open up this Scripture, as we begin to look at it and examine it. Lord, may we find the truths that'll be the most help to us in our individual life, whatever our status is. And Lord, again, we pray, and I would hope that everyone here has been saved and trusted Christ. But if not, the ultimate goal would be to see when everyone left today that they knew our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask now that you would guide and direct, give us words, wisdom, and help. We'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. We find the Apostle Peter, he's writing to these people, and he's writing to the Christian people, and during this time, they're under a great deal of pain and persecution. As he opens this epistle, he used three words in those two verses that we're going to look at in just a moment, which I believe identifies the people as being different from everyone else. What had happened and transpired when these people got saved, there came a change in their life. Can I remind you this morning, I still believe that when a person gets saved, that there ought to be a change in their life. We're to live a different life. We become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. And so literally what had happened to the early church is they began to see people and they began to get saved. There were some things that made them stand out above other people. In fact, in many instances, they were looked upon as being odd. And oftentimes today we find people, if somebody is a little bit different, or odd, or has problems, and we find a lot of times we're dealing with issues today of bullying in schools. How sad it is today in every child, if you're raising your children today, drive into their hearts and let them know that God never intended for us to make fun of anybody that was different than we are, and to love them just as much as he did. And truly, I think it's so sad today when I read in the paper and read on the news continually that young people are committing suicide because people are bullying them. And I want to say oftentimes, especially children, they're the objects of cruel jokes and bullying. But even adults, if anyone stands out different, many times they're shunned, they're ridiculed, they're rejected, and they're attacked. And this can especially be true about people that are different in talking about the people of God. Now, I don't believe today that we ought to be oddballs, but I believe we ought to be different. I believe there ought to be something different about our life that would reflect in people's life that they would see Christ in us. Friend, the thing that will bring people to Christ is Christians living like a Christian. Things that will drive people away from Christ is Christians living like the world. And so we see the importance of what began to take place, and they begin to be persecuted. Now, here's the three words that I want to give you this morning, and this is by way of introduction, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But we see there's three words. The first word he uses is they are strangers. He refers to them as being strangers. The word literally means aliens. Those who are temporarily residents in a strange place are those who perhaps are foreigners or refugees. We have a lot of those in our society today, but we're talking today about Christian people. He identifies these people as being strangers and pilgrims. The Bible says, by the way, that listen, our citizenship is not here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And I'm grateful today for the good years God has given me and allowed me to be able to pastor and to minister and try to reach people for the cause of Christ. I'm reminded that this is not my home. I'm simply passing through. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim along the way. In Philippians 3:20, he said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In this world, the Bible said, 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." These early Christians, just like us, were residents in a foreign land. They were just pilgrims. They were just passing through. Friend, I'm telling you today, more and more I preach funerals of friends, people that I grew up with and people that I've known for a long time, and it reminds me continually that I'm probably getting close to the other side. I don't know. I'm enjoying life here. I surely enjoy what God's given to me. But I want you to know this morning that I'm prepared to leave this place that has been strange to me and the place that many times is against what we stand for. But I'm going to a wonderful place that God has prepared for me where I will not be a stranger. There'll be a lot of people that'll be just like us because the Bible said we'll be just like Him. The second word I noticed that he used, he said they were scattered. Strangers scattered. The word literally in the Greek means diaspora. This word appears three times in the New Testament. And they were scattered because of the persecution around the world. I don't have time to get into that this morning. That's not my message. But we know that literally the early church grew because of persecution. We knew that when persecution came, they were scattered abroad, and literally things began to explode and churches began to be started. In either case, it refers to people that are separated from their culture, separated from their comfort zone, from where they belong, scattered throughout all the known world. I'm glad today, no matter where I go, I tell you, I can find somebody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ. I run into people that are saved today. Many times it's a lot easier to identify those that aren't. But I'm glad today that there's Christians all around the world, missionaries that we support all around the world that are preaching the same gospel that I'm preaching and trying to get people saved. This all was caused because of the persecution and because they were different. And people didn't like them being different, so they persecuted them along the way. The third word I want you to see is found in verse 2, the very first word you see. He said elect. And the word elect refers to those which have been chosen or set apart. The elect people of God. Not going to get into the doctrine of election today, but I can tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He knows who will be saved and who is going to be saved. But I submit to you today, I do not believe that there's anybody for whom Jesus did not die. For He said He loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here we find these words quite interesting to understand. He said they're strangers. He said they're scattered. And He said they're elect. He goes on in verse 2. By through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful today the early Christians were different in their new cultures in many ways. Their differences caused people to fear them. Now I want you to hang on to that a minute because I'm going to go a step further. Because they were different, they were often blamed for plagues, storms, wars, and other tragedies. They were often viewed with suspicion or hatred. Thus they became the objects of intense persecution. They suffered in horrible ways. But I'm going to tell you what they did. They persevered through it all for the glory of God. No one in this room today has suffered the persecution like the early church did. No one I know of has been forced out of their home or had their livelihood taken away or placed in jail or beaten or killed for their faith. We may have been mocked and ridiculed, and we may have suffered abuse. I've been cursed at a few times in my life. I've had a few doors slammed in my face. I've had people be rude to me, but I've always been reminded that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And friend, when you slam the door in my face, and I'm telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not slamming it in my face, you're slamming it in His face, and He'll deal with it accordingly. But yet, because of this, they were referred to as being strangers and pilgrims going through a land where they did not belong and where they were not. I want you to understand today, we must determine to do as early Christians to persevere. This passage tells us today, I believe, how we can persevere with the issues that come our way. And by the way, could I tell you? You know, a while ago I said hang on to that thought about the fact of how they became the objects of intense persecution and they suffered because they were different. Have you noticed lately in the news, Christians are bad people. Almost, at least that's what the world's saying. And they're saying, boy, you're trying to do this. And I'm talking about, listen, I don't want to get into it this morning, but listen, we as Christians are standing for what is right and the truth. And we're for little babies. We don't want them killed in the womb. And we're for what is right. We're for justice. And yet the world looks at us and says, you're weird. And yet we go through persecutions, but the same thing that made them persevere will work for you and us. For you and me, because God will bless it along the way. I want you to see, first of all, we persevere through God's promises. Now, before we read verse 1 through 4, and I've already read verses 1 and 2, let's jump down to verse number 6. And I want you to see something here that we understand what Peter was saying here they were dealing with. He said in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, that though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word manifold temptations speaks of adversity. It speaks of putting something to the proof. Manifold means various in character, many colored. You see, trials come in many different colors, and they come in many different styles, and they come in many different ways. And I think anybody would agree today that literally, as we go through this life, time and time again, we know good people. I'm talking about Christian people that love God and serve God. We hear the word cancer more now than we ever have. We hear sickness and diseases and all things that happen. Those many times may be coming in our life that would defeat us and discourage us, but yet we must persevere. Regardless of their source, the word heaviness means to distress, to cause grief, or to make sorrowful. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes the Christian life, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get down. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank the Lord for 40-something years of being able to be in the ministry. And could I say today, I'm not bragging on me, because I'm going to tell you, I couldn't have done it by myself. I did it because it was based on the promises of the Word of God and what He gave to me to help me to get to the place I needed to be. But wasn't it David who said in Psalm 55, verse 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Ever felt that way? What causes the saints to persevere when they get down, discouraged, and despairing? We persevere because we rest in the promises of God. Look at verses 3 through 5. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't tell anybody what to do or what songs to pick out, but I tell you, it couldn't have been more appropriate this morning because we sing some resurrection songs. He said in verse 4, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Now I'm telling you, if you're a child of God and that don't get you excited, there's not much going to help you. I'm telling you today to understand that Peter's writing to them and he said, look, you're different, you're suffering persecution, you're going through the fire, you're going through all kind of difficulties, but he said, I want you to know God has blessed you and He's given you more than you could ever think of or hope for. First of all, he said they were begotten again. You know what that means, begotten again? It means they're saved by the grace of God. They put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've repented of their sins, and Jesus Christ came into their heart and saved them, and they became new creatures in Christ. In Romans 6, verse number 11, it said, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell you today, somebody said, man, I've never died. I'm going to tell you the truth. Before I got saved, I was dead. And I tell you, I'm grateful today that I've not died since I was born in this world. But I'm telling you, I was born in this world just as dead as I could be. But thank God, by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he quickeneth me and made me alive and gave me a home in heaven. He said unto the lively hope, I tell you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Those who are lost in sin have nothing but dead hopes. I tell you today, I feel sorry for people. I talk to people from time to time, and they don't want to admit that there's a God. They don't want to admit that they need to be saved. They just go through life, and listen, what hope do you have? There's no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hope of the place called heaven unless we're born again and saved by the grace of God. In verse number 4, he goes on. He says, we're unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in verse 3, from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. The word incorruptible means not able to be destroyed. I tell you today, my house can be destroyed. My car can be destroyed. And I tell you, my body can be destroyed, but it's not going to destroy the relationship I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I've been quite amazed at the wildfires out in California. And I tell you, I believe this is true. I don't want to be telling you something that's false, but I'm just telling you what I remember. But I think they said the other day that a new fire popped up and there were 6,500 homes that were in danger of being lost by the fire. I tell you, take everything I have, you can take it away from me. You can destroy it and you can burn it up, but you can't take away the hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I tell you, you can put me in a casket and you can say a few words over me and you can take me to the cemetery and you can put me there. But I tell you today, my hope is in that which is incorruptible and not able to be destroyed, undefiled. You know what that means? It means not polluted. I tell you what, pollution today of sin is rampant everywhere we go. But what a blessing it's going to be one day when we find His way is unpolluted, but it said it fadeth not away. Most everything we have will decay. I tell you, old cars rust out. Houses need fixing up. But I tell you, my relationship with Jesus Christ is the same today as it was yesterday, and it will be tomorrow as I trust Him. We have a promise, friend. Our promise, if we're saved, there's something far better in heaven for you and I. And I can't emphasize the importance enough of understanding the truth that all of this has to be taken care of while we're living, because once we die, there will be no decisions made then. Must be made now. The Bible says in Philippians 1:23, says we have a better place reserved in heaven. I tell you, every now and then I go somewhere and I don't like to just stop in somewhere, try to find somewhere to stay. I won't know I got somewhere to sleep when I get ready. And I tell you, I make reservations quite often. And I tell you, every now and then they can get them messed up. But I can tell you, I got one reservation that's never going to get messed up. I got a reservation that's been made the day that I trusted Christ, and that day I'll be with Him. The Bible said in verse number 3, He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything we possess in Jesus is ours. Jesus redeemed us through His death on the cross in order that we might have salvation. And I tell you today, you know what keeps me going? Somebody said to me one time, said, preacher, did you ever think about quitting? Oh, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I didn't. But I've never quit. And I'm going to tell you why I never quit. Because of the precious promises that I found in the Word of God. I tell you, it's God's Word that continues to strengthen me. We persevere because of God's promises. Second of all, we persevere through God's power. Look at verse number 5. The Bible said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Do you understand what that says? The word kept means to keep in a state of security. I'm grateful today. What God has given to us in Jesus is eternal. We can't lose our salvation. We possess eternal life. Now, somebody said, oh, that's crazy. How can you do that? We can do it through the power of God. Friend, I can't keep my salvation. I can't hold on to my salvation. But God's power can keep me safe in His security all the days that I live. We're protected. Notice what it said. We are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation. Look at that word, ready. Ready. You know what the word ready means? To be prepared, at hand, present, or already accomplished until it's finally delivered at the last time. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the day of Jesus Christ is the same as redemption. John had this in mind when he wrote these words, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I believe Paul had this in mind when he quoted 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. People today, if you're saved, we're sealed until the day that he calls us home. We're kept by the divine power of God. Friend, today, listen, I'm with you. If it was up to us, listen, first of all, we can't save ourselves, and we can't keep ourselves saved. And I tell you today, it's because of the power. I stand in amazement at what God can do, but I know this, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And truly today, he has the power to keep me. This reminds me of Romans 8, 38 and 39. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no power that can conquer the power of God. I tell you this morning, somebody said, well, preacher, is it worth it? Susan and I was talking yesterday. We was talking about some people we knew, and I hadn't seen them in a long time. And as far as I know, I don't know if they're in church or not. But I tell you, one time they were, and they were excited, and they were on fire, and they lost their son in a car wreck. And that kind of knocked them for a loop a little bit, but they continued to try to do what was right, and then it wasn't long before they lost their daughter, the only two children they had. Susan and I was talking about that. We know what it's like to lose one, but I can't imagine losing all your children. And I don't know today. I'm not speaking for them. And I, like I said, I really don't even know where they're at. But I know at one point, I believe they allowed the devil to slip in and steal their joy. And friend, whether God takes one child, two children, or no children, he still has the power to keep us saved. And we still continue to trust him through all the circumstances of life. We are kept by the power of God. Nothing can change that. I tell you today, we get saved. We are God's. We're protected by his power. We persevere in faith, knowing that there's nothing that can keep us from his inheritance he's given to us. Sometimes we think about people's inheritance down here. So I wonder what I'm going to get, or what's going to be left for me. I tell you, by the time it gets around to it, you may not have nothing left. But I tell you, when you get to heaven, you're going to have everything that he promised. Is still going to be there for you to put your trust in. Then in verses 6 through 9, quickly, we persevere through God's promises, we persevere through God's power, but we persevere through God's plan. He said in verse 6, wherein, now remember, these are persecuted people, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, that you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. We persevere through God's plan. This section of our text talks about the trials we face in life. What we must remember, trials are part of God's plan. I know it's not easy. And I've tried to comfort broken hearts, and I've tried to encourage those who have lost loved ones, and I've tried to help those that are going through difficult times in their life. And many times the question is, why? Why did God do this, and why does God allow this? I'm telling you why, and I believe we find it in the Word of God. We find these people were persevering, but the reason they were persevering is because they recognized these trials was not something that God sent upon them because He disliked them, or because He hated them, but He sent them in order that He might help them. And I can assure you today, I can't help but go back to the story of Ron Hamilton. He lost his eye to cancer, a very talented man, been used of God tremendously. But he wrote that song, "I Shall Come Forth as Gold." Friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you can take your trials and understand that God allows trials to build our faith, it helps us to persevere in Him. For the Bible said in verse 6, "Wherefore they greatly rejoiced." I don't believe we've ever had a praise service about somebody getting cancer. I don't believe we've ever had a praise service about somebody dying tragically. And I don't believe it would be appropriate for us to do that. But I do believe this: "Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. And whatever You send my way, I'll handle it, because I have You in me to help me handle it along the way." We can rejoice because we're protected by God's power. We can rejoice because we're protected by God's promises. We can rejoice because of these great truths. And basically, Peter was saying here, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be." They were in manifold, they were in heaviness through manifold temptations, but yet they found time to rejoice. I'm glad today, when you're distressed and when you're tired, you know, today we're so grateful that we have so much to be thankful for. I'm grateful today that I've never been arrested for preaching the Word of God. I'm grateful today that, started saying I've never been threatened. I have been threatened, but thank Lord nobody shot me yet. But I can tell you what, I've never gone through what these people went through. And yet, they said, "Lord, because of Your promises, because of Your plan, I can handle that. I'll trust You. We're protected by our trials." Listen, if we never had trials come our way, and all through life we end up having one come, we'd be devastated. But friend, God has built, there's been stepping stones in my life of trials that God sent my way to help me build and draw closer to Him as I take them step by step. This talks about proving of our faith. Proving of our faith. Your faith, you know, somebody said, "Have faith in God." Somebody said, "How do you know they have faith?" Well, I'll tell you when you know you have faith. You know you have faith when you get the sad words. You know you got faith when tragedy strikes your family. You know you got faith when you're going through the darkest hour of your life. What a blessing it is. And more times than one, this preacher right here has been touched by the lives of others that I went to be a blessing to when they said, "Preacher, it's all God, and it's in His hands, and we're trusting Him." I tell you today, I don't know about you, but I just want to keep on keeping on, don't you? I tell you, He's given me a place reserved in heaven, and here He talks about sustaining their faith. He said, "Ye greatly rejoice." Sometimes we get backwards and we kind of get to the point of where we don't know what to do. And then we got the prosperity preachers on television said, "Listen, if you've got sin in your life, that's if there's sin in your life, then you're disobeying God. And God's not going to bless you. God wants to bless you with good things." Friend, I'm going to tell you, God's blessed me more good things than I could ever imagine. But listen, He did not promise me that I would not have some trials and temptations along the way. And truly, I have. Somebody's asked me in the past, they said, "Preacher, do you ever doubt your salvation?" There was a time I did. It was a time when I was a teenager. I'd been saved at 10 years old. And I got away from God and I did some things that I shouldn't have done. But I'm going to tell you something. I came back and I went to my preacher when I got right with the Lord, trying to get right with the Lord. And I said, "Man, I don't know the way I've lived, the way I've acted, what I've done. I'm not sure I'm saved." And he talked with me and he went through it. And I was raised in church and I went through it step by step. And he told me, "I done that. I did that. Yes, I believe. When I cried out to Jesus, I believed that he was going to save my soul as a 10-year-old boy." And I tell you, that night, I got down on my knees and I accepted the fact that when God said he saved me, he did exactly that. And I tell you, I hadn't doubted it any time. And by the way, if you do doubt it, you might do some checking up. Have you had some trials in your life? I believe it proves that you're a child of God when things come in your life. It's not that God wants to send bad things. It's that God wants to send things to help us to grow in the things of God. What is a greater gift than to have assurance of salvation? There's so many people in this world today that go to church that don't know they're saved. "Well, I think I am. I think I used to be. Well, I hope I am." Listen, the Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he's able to what? Keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." We find 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 through 12, Timothy says basically in verse 8, "Join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." In verse 9, and then verse 10 through 12, he said, "I suffer for the sake of Christ, but I'm not ashamed. When I suffer, true faith in my heart rises to the occasion. The greater the suffering, the better the testimony." Paul says in verse 12 of Timothy, he said, "I know," and I've just quoted that, "I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that he's able to keep." How do we know God? We know him in many ways, but we know him because he's manifested himself through suffering. Would some of you not agree? I don't want you to reply, but wouldn't some of you agree that you've been there? And truly, your faith has been strengthened and your assurance has been secured because of the suffering that he sent in your life and the strength that he gave you to get through it. Rejoice in what God done. He said, "I've committed it." You see, we've never faced persecution. Sometimes there's distress. The apostles were persecuted for their faith and preaching, but they came out of there bleeding, bruised, battered, embarrassed, humiliated, happy and in full of joy. They were filled with joy because they knew their faith was real. And friend, I tell you today, you need to know you're saved and you need to know for certain you're saved. But I tell you, God will help you to know you're saved because of the faith that you have in him when that trial or temptation comes your way. They were filled with joy. Even Jesus Christ was strengthened through his suffering. In 1 Peter chapter 1, you're right there. Look at verse number 23. He said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That wasn't the verse I was looking for, but it must be 2 Peter. But it says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightfully." The early church suffered, but they persevered. The Apostle Paul, the apostles, all the apostles suffered, but they persevered. Jesus suffered, and aren't you glad he persevered? Suffering does not come to destroy our faith, but to develop it and to prove real faith. So rejoice in your sufferings, because God is there to prove the reality of your faith to you and to all those who suffer. And friend, today I'm grateful today that we can rest in the promises of God. I'm glad today we can rest in the plan of God. We can rest in the power of God, that he'll do what he said he would do. If you're going through a trial, don't give up. Don't quit. God is still on the throne. His power is not diminished. It's just as strong as it ever was. And today he stands ready to meet your need. But I wonder today if there would be somebody here that said, "Preacher, I'm going through some trials, but I really don't know about this stuff about salvation." I can tell you what Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for he said, I am meek and lowly of heart." I quoted the verse at the beginning of the message today where he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And friend, today I got it settled a long time ago. I know I'm going to heaven, but how about you? Oh, today that there would be nobody would walk out of this building and not know where they're going to spend eternity. I pray today, if God spoke to your heart, that you'd respond to the invitation. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, we thank you for the hope, the lively hope that we have in Christ of a better place that he's given to us, what he's going to do for us, and how he'll provide every need for us along the way.